Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, hello, welcome to a new-ish episode of Oldie But A Goodie. Hello, it's me, Sandro. I'm the editor. And yeah, no new episode out this week, as you've probably noticed. We did release The Black Hole last week. We do have Flash Gordon coming out next week. But this week, there's no new episode. But there is a new episode to you who are not subscribed to our Patreon, because we are going into those vaults and we're releasing a Patreon episode for free. And we're going back pretty far for this one. This is actually, I think, directly after our Evil Dead reviews, which you would have heard in January. This is a review of an incredibly horny sci-fi called Star Slammer. It's very silly. The episode is very silly. We get into a lot of detail about this silly 80s sci-fi movie, and I think that this episode is a lot of fun. So enjoy. If you haven't yet, make sure to go to patreon.com/oldiebutagoodiepod as well. We've got a huge back catalog of episodes just like this one that you can check out. You can also get ad-free episodes of the main show as well. When that Flash Gordon episode comes out next week, if you're subscribed to Patreon, you get it early and you get it without any ads. That's a pretty cool deal, if I don't say so myself. But yes, there's heaps of brand new bonus episodes. There's a new one on Madam Web that is out. We're doing Donnie Darko 2 a little bit later on in the month as well. So much stuff at patreon.com/oldiebutagoodiepod. Hope you enjoy this episode. We will be back with our journey throughout the 80s next week with Flash Gordon, with a special guest. I think I can reveal that. A bit of a guest who we've bonded with before. You can probably guess who it is. That's out next week. But for now, enjoy Star Slammer. Thank you for listening.
Oh, I'm so groggy. Oh.
Hi there. Looks like you're finally awake.
I'm sleeping on a metal slab. What is this?
Well, the guards just brought you in, so you're probably waking up from all those drugs that they pump you up with.
Drugs? Oh no! I've never taken drugs before. Ah!
I don't know why you're bringing up that as a point. I think that's the least of your troubles, honestly. But they do that so that they don't have to put many guards around you. Anyway, we now have to go through a long and tedious intro about all of our characters, Suicide Squad style.
Do we really? I mean, like, you're important and I'm important, and maybe your sister, but that's about it. So do we have to go through all these characters?
What? Yeah! What are we? Some kind of space squad?
Da-da-da-da!
Da-da-da-da! Da-da-da-da!
It's Star Slammer, also known as 10 different other titles.
We stole the trumpets from Indiana Jones.
And of course the opening sequence from Star Trek, but it's a sci-fi in the 80s and they all do that.
Yeah, except they had like grey bars that went across for the intro. What was that?
I feel like it was meant to be them spelling out the name of the film.
I don't know.
But then you saw the whole picture and it had like 10 names packed into one little screen. And I was like, what the heck is this?
Hey there. Welcome to Patreon. I hope you like boobs and butts, because that's all this movie has to offer.
There's a little bit more. There's Power Ranger outfits.
That's true, yep.
There's the Hunger Games hairstyle.
Yeah, I'd say it's all Power Rangers.
It is all Power Rangers.
You've just got every character is a Power Ranger villain, except for the Dominatrixes. Which are fresh from a softcore.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, most of this movie is the outfits certainly are, I tell you that much.
Yeah.
This was something else. So, Look, we spent the last 2 months doing all the Evil Dead films. Instead of covering, I don't know, the Evil Dead TV show, maybe the Evil Dead musical, which is apparently a thing, with a song in it called Let's Do the Necronomicon, which I heard and I was like, this is pretty good.
That sounds great.
But no, you voted for it and we're doing Star Slammer.
Star Slammer, also known as?
Also known as Prison Ship.
Okay, pretty on the nose.
Also known as Adventures of Tara.
Okay, a little more. I like that one a bit more.
Also known as Adventures of Tara Part 1.
That's a bit ambitious.
Part 1. Also known as Star Slammer The Escape.
Okay, yeah.
All the titles that they actually use in the movie itself. The Adventures of Tara Prison Ship Star Slammer.
Wow, yep, that's a bit of a mouthful.
That's what they call it in the film.
Yeah, I noticed there was a to be continued at the end.
There's a to be continued at the end as well.
And then this is Patreon, so I'm just going to ask straight up, is there a sequel to this movie?
No. Which is impressive, because the director of this film is Fred Olen Ray. We've done one of his movies before, Cyclone. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember Cyclone.
So he did that. He's made about 200 movies.
Wow.
It's impressive that he didn't do a sequel, considering that he's done 200 movies.
Yes. It is impressive, sort of weird that he didn't do a sequel, because it's clearly not quality that's stopping him.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
So...
Would you say that this movie is bad? Yes. But would you also say that this movie is too self-aware for its own good?
Yes. Absolutely. They were having a little too much fun, and I'm not okay with how much enjoyment they had making this.
That was a lot of fun. Everyone was having fun.
Yep.
Just touching each other and whipping and just...
Yeah, there was whips, boobs, butts. Everything. Yeah.
No dicks.
We got a bit of those man whipping. We got to whip a few guys, you know. Look, it wasn't as great as it could have been. Yeah, we didn't see any abs.
No.
I feel like abs were the one thing. Like, we got the chest armor, which was sculpted, but it's not the same, you know.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Hmm.
Oh, I just noticed that the planet that we start on is called Arouse.
Great.
Damn it, this movie.
So Sandro, did you send me the correct movie, or did you send me a softcore porno? I'm still not sure yet.
Well, the thing is, though, if this was a softcore porno, there's one sex scene in the whole film. It's kind of, you know, it's like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, it's pretty soft, but not it's much, still, you know.
Not much bang for your buck. Hey!
Boo! Oh. Get him off the air!
I didn't hate it. I think I had as much fun watching this as I did American Ninja 2. And there's some genuinely funny moments in this movie.
There was bits I liked, there was bits I didn't.
I think the whole prison escape aspect is the worst part of the film.
Yeah, absolutely. This movie ended quite poorly.
Yeah.
Especially, we'll get to it eventually, but especially the fight scene, the fighter. The space combat was the worst space combat I've ever seen.
It was terrible.
It was really bad.
If you compare it to maybe like the Ice Pirates, which this kind of is, it's the Ice Pirates, but if everyone was even more horny than they were in Ice Pirates, that's basically what this film is.
But if they hired porn stars instead of actors.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
There's only one actor in this film that I recognized, and that was just before Chapter 2. We'll get into the plot in a second.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have chapters as well. Did you write down the chapter names?
I didn't.
I remember one, which was the Arena of Death.
Oh, there was Prison Escape 3000.
Chapter names. That was good. That was great stuff.
But one of the actors in the moment, right when she's sent to the prison, we get this judge who comes on screen for like 3 seconds and is like, "I sentence you to the prison ship."
I remember. Yeah.
That's the brother of David Carradine, the warrior from The Warrior and the Sorceress. That's his brother.
Whoa, what a connection.
And I was like,
wow, that's so left field.
No way you recognize that.
Well,
no
he's
way.
Also in heaps of, like, B-movies as well. Except he's more of a horror guy. So he does more films that I've watched.
Wow, that's crazy.
So he showed up and I was like, ha-ha, this film's trying to have star value.
Trying and, yep.
But the plot...
Sorry, the what?
The premise, I should say, because there isn't a plot.
Ah, right, yeah. There we go, there we go. I was a little confused. You said the plot, and I was like, wait, there was a plot?
There was a plot? No.
No, there is a... I'll give this movie. There is a plot. This has more plot
There's
than...
There's two plots. They're on screen a couple times.
Boo, shut up. It was funny because early on I noticed in the fight scene with the bad guy, there was a nip slip and I was like,
oh, no.
Maybe they missed that.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then later on it's like, oh, no, no, no. I don't think she's worried about that. Nope. Don't think that mattered. So we follow our main character, Tara.
I believe
she's called.
Yeah. Tara, but spelt in a sci-fi way.
Yes. Tequara, yep. Or something, I believe it's spelled. Anyway.
Twi'lek. Oh, right, wrong. Never mind.
Yeah, wrong sci-fi series.
Yeah.
Just as horny, though.
Because of the actual horns?
Yeah, because of the...
Yeah.
And the fact that they're, like... That's the aliens that are usually... Anyway, so...
It's true.
Yeah, look, Jabba knows what he likes. He likes rancors is the answer.
Oh, that's okay then.
Yeah. He likes to throw them into a rancor pit and
and then have sex with the rancor.
Okay. Moving on very swiftly from that. She is a miner on the planet Arousal or whatever the fuck it's called.
That's the name of the planet.
She hangs out with a bunch of children.
No, they're called the Mogworts.
Ah, the Mogworts.
I don't know why I wrote it down. I think I had subtitles on and it came up. The Mogworts talk. I was like, oh, they're called Mogworts.
Oh, great. Fantastic. Thanks, subtitles. I should have had subtitles on. Damn, I missed out on a lot.
Mm, a lot of deep world building.
So, she hangs out with these alien Mogworts. She mines. But she bumps into a priest, and I believe you have the line she uses on the priest there.
Yeah, the priest is walking down this road, the Mogworts are surrounding the priest, and then Tara appears and she says, "Hold us right there, priest! One more step and you're Rod's history." I mean, your staff.
Wow. Wow. And that's the first line. The first line we hear from the main character is that.
And immediately I think both of our reactions was, is this the right film?
Yeah, I think I messaged you, you know, I'm not sure if this is the right film, but I have a sneaking suspicion it is.
While we go through the plot, I will do fun facts relating to what's happening at the time.
Okay.
So, in this scene, right, she's wearing a leotard.
Yep.
The leotard's very, very high up. You can see her whole buttocks in said leotard. So, she got a wedgie, right? So intense from filming out there in the sunny desert park that they decided to film in. She got a wedgie so intense that she developed hemorrhoids for many days. After shooting.
Oh, no.
And according to IMDb, it resembled Wyoming. I don't know how they know this.
What?
I don't know.
What?
It's in the IMDb trivia.
Why is that a thing? God, that's awful.
You're welcome, patrons. This is what you voted for and paid for.
Why would you... Oh, my God.
So, anyway.
Thanks, Wyoming.
Thanks.
This poor lady... she's hanging out with this priest, but then they see a futuristic vehicle approach.
Oh no, it's the vehicle from Cyclone.
Yeah!
It's back.
But this time, instead of, you know, secret agents in it, it's got sci-fi bad guys.
They work for the Federation, the Empire.
The Empire.
The Thing.
Yep. They're part of the Imperial Empire.
Yeah.
So, and they hop out and we see, is there four or three of them?
There's Longhair Nightwing.
Yeah, he's got the mask, so he's like a he's like Animal Cross Nightwing.
Yeah.
There's
Adult Lava Boy without the lava. It's like if Lava Boy's suit didn't have the lava on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Lava Boy, Lava Girl.
Yeah. Sorry, it's Shark Boy without the shark.
Yes.
But very nervous. He's a very nervous man.
And then there's also the Hunger Games guy.
Yes.
Who is there and does fart noises sometimes, and that's... I don't know why he's in this movie.
I think his job is also to hand a bottle to the bad guy at one point. This is when they're on the ship later on. He hands a bottle to the bad guy so he can crush it in his hand and throw it away. So yeah, Adult Shark Boy, I liked him as a bad guy. I'm not gonna lie. Just as, like, his voice... And I felt like the actor was very much enjoying his role.
I agree there.
Yeah. He just seemed like he was having a good time, you know?
Yeah.
Just like, I am evil demons!
His storyline's weird, because he shoots the priest and a bunch of the Mogworts.
First up, for what happens many times in this film, instead of immediately shooting Tara...
Yeah.
Which would have solved this whole movie's problems. He's like, oh, I see you have a melee weapon. I'm going to put aside my range weapon that I could literally one-shot you with because we've seen that. And instead go toe-to-toe with you. This one makes sense, though, because he's probably horny. Which makes sense. Later on it happens, and it doesn't make any sense, and I will point it out because it made me mad.
Do you mean, because it's, of course, Patreon, we're not going to go through the whole plot, I'm just going to quickly bring up the moment that I think you're referring to, where one of the Tusken Raider androids on the prison ship shoots someone, walks out, puts the gun away, and then they have, like, a Western standoff for no reason.
That's one of the times it happens. One of the times. So that's one time. Yes, that was very stupid. Because not only that, another time is when that lady, they go around a corner and there's a Tusken Raider and she's holding a gun. And instead of shooting the guy, she decides to try and pistol whip him.
Oh, yeah. That was really dumb as well. I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she fails miserably and gets thrown around. And then the other girls, instead of, I don't know, shooting him, they jump on his back. Pull off some wires? No explanation there.
Yeah, because it's a robot. I don't know.
It's very stupid. It's weird.
I did like the moment, going back to the part in the plot where we're technically up to, where the bad guy, Shark Boy, that's what we're calling him.
Yep.
He grabs one of the Mogworts by the head, holds the Mogwort about a hand's length away from him.
Yeah.
And then just point blank shoots him in the head with his laser rifle.
Yeah.
Like execution style.
It's pretty brutal.
And it's just him killing this poor kid.
I gotta bring those back, I think.
Bring the Mogworts back?
Yeah. I think
you're gonna be the one to make the sequel of this film.
I will make the sequel, except I'm gonna make it a dead serious, like, zero porn movie.
Great.
I want to expand on this universe, you know? And people will watch it and go, wow, this was a great sci-fi. Let's see the original and go, what the fuck is this? So,
that sounds great.
Tara gets... Tara has a battle with the bad guy and manages to dip the bad guy's hand in acid. So now his hand is gone.
Because the planet Arousal has natural forming acid geysers...
Yep.
Or something.
Not important, so I was just going to skip over it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you brought it up.
It's very important.
It's vitally important. So then she gets captured and imprisoned for the things the bad guy does, I think.
Yeah, she gets framed.
Yeah.
She gets framed for killing the priest. And then she wakes up on the prison planet. I liked... Not the prison planet, the prison ship. That's a different movie, probably. She wakes up on the ship and we see the executioner lady, who is also a prisoner, but was such a good prisoner, she got promoted to be
what?
This dominatrix character.
No, she's not a prisoner.
No, there's a moment where she's like, you're trying to take my job, and sidle up to the warden. Last person who tried to take my job, I lost an eye. Look at my disgusting eye.
Huh. I didn't pick up on that key plot point.
Very key plot point.
For some reason, the plot sort of eluded me from this film.
I don't know what you would have been distracted by.
I don't know either.
Anyway, she introduces the ship, and she's like, this is where you're living now. In case you have any thoughts about escaping, 50 girls have tried, and 50 girls lie dead. The clear line there, script writers, is 50 girls have tried, and 50 girls have died. But no.
No.
The writers were like, mm-mm, no fun. No fun allowed.
Yeah, we don't want this to rhyme. That would make this an unserious movie, and this movie is dead serious.
That's the problem, is, like, it doesn't take itself seriously, but it misses out on so many obvious jokes that would make it a parody.
They didn't make it funny, they just sort of made it silly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still funny, because it's so silly, but, like, they could have doubled down, you know?
True. There's heaps and heaps of prisoners on the ship. They're all white, mostly, and they're all blonde, and they all look the same.
Yeah.
There's a scene where they all introduce each other.
With the exception of, like, one Asian lady.
There's one Asian lady. I think there's one black prisoner as well.
Is there?
Yeah. Yeah, there is. She doesn't do anything. She's there.
Okay. Which is why I do not remember her existing.
There's Tara, who you can
distinguish
from the wash of white women by her outfit not being grey. Her outfit is white and see-through.
Yep.
But that's how you know that it's Tara. And then there's... what's her name? Mike?
I don't know their names. They literally had... okay, let's bring this up right now. They had a Suicide Squad intro to all the fucking characters, and it just makes me so mad.
It's really bad
that movies do this. It literally is the worst way of introducing your characters. It just shows you have no idea how to introduce. I'm this thing and my personality is this. Mm-hmm. My name's Claws. What? Who cares? Literally none of these characters do anything in the movie.
No.
That's the worst bit. If they had literally anything to do with the movie, I would have been fine with this. Like, there's literally one character that's like, I'm Claws, and she, like, does a scratch motion.
And then she never scratches anyone for the rest of the movie.
No! She doesn't do anything.
There's one who's like, my name's and I'm a lesbian, I'm gonna kiss you. And then she's gone.
That's her only thing she does this whole movie.
Whole film.
To be fair, they've got to make the scene hot somehow, you know?
There is Mike, who is the leader of all of them, and she's got a choker. She's got a black leather choker, and that's how you can tell her apart from everyone else.
Yes, and she's actually got a role in the movie and was the only one who actually needed an intro. Except maybe Squeaker? Squeaker's another one.
That's her sister, yeah.
Yes, Squeaker's Mike's sister, and she also plays a role in the movie. But apart from that, literally none of the other characters matter, so don't intro them. What are you doing? You idiot.
The way that Tara is introduced to the warden is, here she is, here's your shortbread Pop-Tart. I was like, that's a really good way to describe her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a shortbread Pop-Tart.
It was a good line. It was a good line.
I enjoyed that.
There's some good lines riddled throughout this movie.
There's a couple. There's some bad ones. The name of the head of security is Muffin, and so whenever she walks up, they all yell, Muff Alert.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The Dominatrix's main hand is called Muff. Yeah.
How about the alien guy who serves them food? He's great. He's just this kid with this giant alien mask.
Yes. I like how in this very, like, racy movie, this very softcore porno movie, they have children.
Yep.
Just acting in it.
Yeah, they could be small people, but they could also be kids. I don't know. But there is a kid. There is a kid in the film.
There's multiple kids, or at least one, because it could be the same kid acting. Yeah. But there's one where a kid wrestles a guy.
That was pretty funny. I enjoyed that.
That was pretty funny. That was pretty great. That was pretty great. Because it's on their Holovision or whatever that they're watching it. So it's just this random wrestling show. But yes, very weird.
Yeah. I do really like the guy that serves them the food, though.
Yeah, it's great.
Hi, real-life American Sally McSella here, and here's a fact you might not know about me. I frickin' love the MCU. I love Marvel. I do. It's true. Now, you might say, well, then you're a Marvel shill. They ain't good anymore. But here's what I gotta tell you. I might shill for oldie but a goodie, but I don't shill for Marvel. I genuinely love every film that they've ever put out. And that's why I'm keen as heck for Sandro and Zach to talk about Madam Web. Here's a clip.
He has a Spider-Man suit. Because there's an Amazonian rainforest in Peru, Zach. I don't know if what? You knew that.
I had no idea. I thought this movie just made that up for this movie.
And there's a bunch of Spider-Men in the rainforest who have magic spider powers, and they all have Spider-Man suits.
Whoa! Except they're made out of, like, rainforest material.
This has to take place in the MCU.
That's true, and Tom Holland, we never see his intro, right?
We never see his origin story.
We're just kind of pushed into him being...
That's true. But Zach, Spider-Man's suit that Peter Parker makes, it's mm-hmm. a very kind of thrown together hoodie, yeah. pants sort of thing, mm-hmm. but it's very much not a Spider-Man suit. Who makes that Spider-Man suit? Tony Stark makes the Spider-Man
true,
suit.
True, he does.
But apparently he didn't, because he just stole it off the spider people who were already having Spider-Man suits.
I appear to have fucked up a little bit. It turns out that Madam Web's not an MCU movie. It's a Sony movie, and therefore I don't have to shill for it. I mean, therefore, I don't love this one. It's bad, actually. But you know what's good? Sandro and Zach talking about it at patreon.com/oldiebutagoodiepod. You can also get early episodes of the main show without any ads, so you don't have to hear this promo ever again. If you go there, link in the episode description, and get that bonus episode of Madam Web right now.
So, eventually, Tara and Mike, they have a fight in the cafeteria. So they're sent
yep.
to the pillory to get a spanking.
Oh, yes. Well, the arena of death.
Death, which is just them getting whipped on the bum.
Yep. Apparently, death is being sexily tortured.
They sounded like they were enjoying it as well.
Yeah, look, there's sometimes watching these movies, I'm very thankful that I wear headphones. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh,
well,
yeah, mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, which brings up a good point. What were you doing while you were watching this film? Because I believe you had some trouble.
Well,
I'm going to bring it up now.
I don't think I can say this for any film that we've done this year.
Yep.
Or on the show, aside from maybe Murder Rock, this movie gave me physical pain. Because my chair fell out from under me.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I fell on the floor and I sprained my right hand.
Sandro sprained his right hand to this movie. Yeah.
Watching Star Slammer, I'm sure it happened because you fell over.
Yeah, that's a good excuse. I cannot believe that. That's so funny.
That is good.
You need to write that review on Letterboxd. I sprained my right hand watching this movie.
I feel
movie.
Like that might get me cancelled on Letterboxd.
No, you go, I sprained my right hand watching this movie. It was because my chair collapsed. But it's kind of funny, you know.
It's kind of funny.
That sort of thing.
So they're whipped on the booty a bunch of times, and then they have to fight this wrestling champion. Who...
Not wrestling champion. He's not just a wrestling
he's
champion.
He's not just a wrestling champion.
He's an award-winning child TV actor.
Which is hilarious, because
yeah.
they're like, yeah, wrestler, children's television series, you're expecting, I don't know, Zac Efron to walk out, right?
Well, I think its name is Henry Hulken or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I was expecting maybe a wrestler.
Like a Hulk Hogan?
Like Hulk Hogan, but like a discount Hulk Hogan, you know?
Instead, it's a giant slug monster with like countless sharp teeth, real nightmare fuel.
I was like, oh, right. That was a good joke. That was a good joke.
That's really funny.
You thought it was just going to be a dude, but it's an alien. Got
him. That was really funny. They're sent to the brig, and for some reason, Mike has got a harmonica and just goes ham on this harmonica.
Yeah. She finds it. She finds it on the ground and is just like, I'm just going to go fucking ham on this thing. And she starts dancing around. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
That was great. I enjoyed that moment.
But then she finishes up and immediately like, well, whatever. I didn't care about it.
Yep.
I was like, what was the point of that?
No one's got any characters, I guess. I don't know.
Do you know who has the best character?
The Chomper Rat?
That's the one! The Jagger Rat, or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
It's a big rat that likes to eat people.
Yum, yum, yum.
That's it. That's the whole thing.
To kill it, you twist its neck?
Yeah, it's got a weak neck, so you go for the neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that would also work on me. If you twisted my neck, I would probably die.
Yeah, like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, that would work on anything if you twist its neck.
Oh, I see. That's not the problem. It's not the problem that works. The problem is that, like, yeah, of course that works. No, but you see on its body, it has, like, a shell.
Yeah, actually
you only see it for a few moments. So, like, it is a legitimate weak point is to go for the neck, I feel.
There's a couple HR things I want to bring up with this prison ship.
Uh-oh.
It's mentioned that they tend to sell their prisoners to the Red Light Moon, which is kind of problematic. Like, they sell their prisoners to a Red Light Moon, and a Red Light District is where you pay for your boning, you know what I mean?
Whoa!
So they're selling these women prisoners as sex slaves.
Okay, Sandra, I'm going to have to stop you there because you have no evidence that is what they're actually doing with the prisoners.
I don't know.
Just because they have similar names to our 21st century red light districts doesn't mean it's the same thing. Second off, Sandro, they're more like indentured, just like our criminal systems in America.
We're not in America.
Yeah, shut up. For this podcast, we are.
True.
In our American prisoner systems, we have the prisoners work to, I don't know why, probably just to make the prisons money, but we have them working as sort of indentured servitude, and I think that's what they mean by selling them. They're not actually selling the prisoners off to them.
Mm.
They're, like, lending them out to do labor.
That's fair enough.
So it's completely above board and definitely not cancelable.
The robots get lube jobs was something else I wanted to bring up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with that. That seems perfectly normal. You got to keep those arms moving, you know? You don't want to get them rusted up or...
Get those arms all lubed up.
I love a good lube job. For my robotic components.
And there's also, in the food, just ears and slugs. Just in the prison food. Which I feel like was a great commentary, really, on modern day prison food and society.
Yeah. Well, the worms is fine. The ears might be problematic.
True.
Look, where did they get that ear from? Look, of all the points you've brought up now, the ear being in the food might be the one that gets us. Because, yeah, where'd that ear come from? What about the bad guy? Because there's the shark boy. His whole thing is he's going fucking crazy. And he keeps seeing the priest pop up in his nightmares.
What the hell is that?
And the priest is like, you're going crazy, fuck you, ha-ha. And the guy's like, whoa, demons! And then you have, the main dominatrix. She doesn't do anything in this film.
She does literally nothing for the entire movie.
You have the scientist.
Dr. Poe, yes.
Dr. Poe, who, does mind control experiments, but is secretly trying to help the prisoners escape.
For some reason.
Why? Who knows?
Who knows?
She's good looking.
Yeah, and wearing nothing.
Yep.
So,
no. But that's how you indicate if it's a good guy or not, is how scantily dressed.
It's true.
They get.
It's true.
All the good guys have to wear, like, one piece nothing.
That's what this movie was missing. This movie was missing the guy from David Lynch's Dune, Sting, just wearing a codpiece.
Yeah.
It was missing a guy running around.
I think
in,
that's
like,
what we talked about at the start. Yeah. There was no abs, you know? There's no skimpy lads.
It was missing skimpy dudes.
We needed one prison guy.
Yeah.
Like a guy.
Oh, actually, there would have been a bunch of gay jokes if they did that.
Yes, it would have been. It would have been really bad. So it's probably a good thing that they avoided it. There's the space emperor. He pops up a few times. He does a fun. There's one bit where they do a recording, like we see them record a video that's like, good work,
yeah.
A prison station, we hear you're doing great reform, blah, blah, blah. And then it shows them after, like, ah, fucking prison sentence, fuck that shit, that I need funny. A drink.
That was funny.
Which was good, classic.
I think that's pretty much... Oh, there is one character who is constantly sharpening her bowl.
Oh, yes!
So she can use it as, like, a killer frisbee. That was cool.
Yeah.
I actually really liked that. That was fun.
My question was, how does she get that bowl? Does she keep that bowl after the thing?
Question. Yeah, because they always hand their bowls back to... Well, because the alien guy that hands them their food and their plates, though, like, he's an absolute legend. So...
Yeah, he's probably in on it, right?
He's probably fine with them making a murder weapon.
Yep.
Yeah.
A little bit negligent, but to be fair, there's ears in the food, so he might have... Maybe he uses the plate to cut them off. Who knows?
So, Mike gets lobotomized by Dr. Poe, except she doesn't get lobotomized. It's all a fake-out.
Yes.
And that's when they decide to escape.
Yeah, there's a big fight scene with Muffin and Mike. Good old Muffin Mike.
Muffin Mike.
Penetrate each other with knives. Okay. It's not sexy.
No, I was like, no, never mind. Just move on.
Is there a problem,
no,
Sergio?
There's no problem.
It's what happens.
The problem
they
is that we watch this
other.
Movie. That's the problem.
Oh, no, but this is the one scene that's pretty violent because she cuts off Muff's hand.
I forgot about this.
Yeah.
She cuts off Muff's hand. And it's just the actor that plays Muff holding up this like tiny, tiny tube that's spurting blood. And it's the best part about it is her other hand is in frame and you can see that her wrist and the tube she's holding up are very different in size.
Yeah.
So either she's got a very malnourished hand and a like a properly solid hand.
Yeah.
Or she's holding up a fake tube hand.
No way. No way. I like how in Victory, after Mike wins, she spins the hand around because she pulled it off with a chain.
Mm.
And so she spins the hand around and the hand sprays blood everywhere.
Yeah.
Getting people covered in blood. What a scene.
What a scene. Just in case you're like, wow, it sounds like actual action scenes. I'm glad it isn't like just a bunch of mud wrestling. No, it is. It's mud wrestling without the mud. But
yes.
There's also the chopping off of hands.
I mean, yes, that's every physical confrontation is mud wrestling without the mud.
Yes.
That's actually a great way of describing it. I couldn't have described it better.
It's, yeah, like, this whole movie is just one person's kink, and that kink seems to be wrestling without mud.
Yes.
So.
Because they avoid laser shootouts at all costs.
As much as they can.
Unless they do a dumb Western. So, yeah, there's this whole escape thing where all the prisoners escape.
It's the worst part of the movie. The ending's bad.
It's really bad. I was surprised at just how awful it was. Because they run around the ship. There's some dumb scenes to take out guards, as we mentioned. It's like, why aren't people shooting each other, for fuck's sake? But that's fine. Look, they've already been more physical combat. They might as well double down on it. Sure. Sure.
Why not?
I was really sad when Poe died. She died for no reason. The poor lady.
It was for a joke, right? She died for a joke?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Literally, she died. So they're sneaking to the ships, and one of them's like, shush, be quiet, and not paying attention. And then a guard sneaks up and chokes her out.
Yeah, and chokes up Poe, and Poe dies.
The whole joke is like, while she's choking to death, the other guy goes, shh, be quiet. And I was like, well, that's pretty dark.
That was really sad, because Poe's, like, the reason they're escaping. Poe's cool.
Yeah. R.I.P. Poe, the true hero.
There's the quote during the breakout sequence. I think Mike says,
yep.
Let's make, like, whores and blow this joint. Which I...
Hey, that was one of my favorite lines. I'm gonna use that one in my day today. I'm leaving Woolworths, you know, I go, let's make like whores and blow this joint.
So they get into the escape pods and ships and whatever, and they fly out. And Shark Boy chases them, and we get the worst dogfight ever committed to cinema.
I was actually nauseous watching this. This is the worst space fight scene I've ever seen, because it just goes back and forth from ships moving and shooting, like cut, cut, to inside, to cut. And it's so jarring. You have no idea where anything is at any time, who's in what ship. You're getting nauseous because it's throwing you around the place.
And the whole time, there's just discount Indiana Jones music playing.
Yeah, it's even worse because they have no idea who they're shooting.
No.
They're just shooting at random spaceships, but they're being very specific about their one-liners against specific people as if they know who's in what ship.
It's like each spaceship has the front of a car and they can just see in and they're like, ah, it's you.
Yes. Yes, like they know who's in what ship, but they definitely don't. So they just so happen to be spouting the one-liners that match up with the characters in the ships. It makes no sense whatsoever.
It's really dumb. They are going to kill Shark Boy, but he's too strong with the Force. So instead, Shark Boy gets attacked by the rat, and he kills the rat.
And Obi-Wan.
And also the priest as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. Literally, he gets defeated by a Forced ghost. Force ghost.
Yeah. And I love as well when his ship explodes, we see the essence of the Force ghost kind of flying off into space as well. So I love that in the canon, right, in the universe that Star Slammer is based in, it's just ghosts. Yep. If you're a priest, you're probably a ghost after you die.
I mean, makes sense.
So that's great. And then they fly off because they've escaped and killed everyone.
Yep. And it says, to be continued.
To be continued in Chain Gang Planet.
Yep.
Never got made.
Nope.
But I kind of wouldn't mind seeing it if it had been made. I would probably watch it if it had been made.
Yes, but it would have been awful.
Yeah, because here's the thing with this movie. This movie is terrible in every single way.
Yeah, it's real bad. It's quite awful.
It's quite awful. Don't watch it. But
yep.
I enjoyed maybe the first hour and 10 minutes, and then the end, yes. I was like, eh, whatever, this is kind of boring.
I enjoyed the first 3 hours of this movie, because that's what it felt like.
Did feel like that.
And then the last hour, which was the ending, I hated.
Yeah.
It was really bad. I was shocked, because usually the endings are better than the most of it, because that's where the action is, and like...
Mm-hmm.
Your movie may be bad, but you could at least do a good bit. Oh, it was so bad.
Look, it's an oldie, obviously.
Yeah, it's so old. It's bad.
It's really bad.
It's really bad.
But there were elements of enjoyability to be found here. Like, comparing it to Cyclone, which was nothing.
Yes, this one wasn't boring. This one wasn't boring. It was very bad, but at least it wasn't boring.
Yeah.
I like the cheesy special effects, you know?
They're good.
Like, the Shark Boy suit, the rat, the, like, puppet rat that they had. The severed hand, which was clearly a tube spraying blood. Like, that's very fun to watch, you know?
Yeah.
And I felt like they had fun making this movie, but also, it was really bad.
Yeah, it's quite terrible.
I'd give this a January award if we could,
I don't think I'd agree, because January for me is, like, really boring.
Yeah, you're reserving Januaries for boring films?
I feel like I do, yeah.
Okay, that's fair. We can leave it at just an oldie. I feel like it just deserves an oldie anyway.
A couple reviews here from Letterboxd. You got to guess the rating.
Yep.
This is from No Men.
Ooh.
No Men says, action scenes with all the excitement of a jilted slap fight at a LARP meeting.
Woo!
Yeah.
Wow, I thought No Men might have been a fan of this movie, because there's not many men in this.
No.
There is some, but there's not many.
There's some men.
Yeah, which I guess is why they have such a harsh criticism of this film. I'm going to guess a one.
It is 1.5.
1.5. Okay, at least I didn't go the 0.5. I wasn't that silly.
This one's by Brandon, who says, Star Slammer, more like Star Boredom. Opening 12 minutes, best part of the movie. Don't bother with the rest. It's a women in prison movie, but on a ship.
Wow. Harsh.
Pretty harsh.
0.5?
Yeah, that is 0.5. Yep.
There we go, there we go. All right, I'm getting there, I'm getting there.
This is from Sven, who says, there's not enough nudity in this movie to justify watching it, which, there's not much. It's really just Tara.
No score.
That is 0.5.
It was another 0.5. Mm-hmm. Damn it, damn it.
And finally, this one is from Curtis and actually ties into a fun bit of trivia.
Okay.
But Curtis says, this movie constantly sounds like it's about to go to a commercial.
Okay.
The fun fact is, most of the soundtrack was taken from TV commercials.
Ah! There you go. So they weren't wrong.
Yeah.
Another 0.5.
That is 2.5, surprisingly.
2.5. Okay. All right. Yeah, of course. Of course.
That's the episode. Thanks for listening and making us watch this.
Yep. This was awful. God, I hope we have to do... We don't have any other space-related boob involving movie in the future ever again.
Well, in 2 weeks we're doing Amazon Women on the Moon.
No.
And there's extended sequences of nudity, I've heard.
No.
But no, like, in all seriousness, I genuinely enjoy watching movies like this because they're terrible and they're a lot of fun. However, they're fun with friends, and that's the problem with lockdown, is, like, it would be great to watch this.
Fun with friends. Fun with your right hand, maybe. Not yours, though, because you sprained it, because your chair broke.
My chair broke.
Quotation.
No, it did, actually. It actually did break.
So what are you sitting on now? Is it the same chair or?
Yeah, I fixed it. It's like an Amazon chair that, not an Amazon, it's like an IKEA chair that you can kind of pick apart and put back together and everything. So yeah, it's fine.
Oh dear.
No, thanks for subscribing to Patreon as always. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Amazon Women on the Moon is next and we'll see you then.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Thanks for subbing.
Thank you.
You have a space... slamming good day. Yeah.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.